worker organization, core worker organizer Jordan Vandering. The reason, a 70-cent plain bagel. Jordan has trudged through the Portland slush today to be in the studio with us, and he's going to tell us all about the latest in Burgerville's union-busting saga. So, Jordan, first, you've been on suspension for 11 days before being notified of your termination today. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
To get started, can you talk about how this is impacting you personally, and how are you going to make ends meet?
Yeah, I mean, it's been stressful, not knowing whether I've had a job or not. You know, 11 days is a long time to be on suspension over something so simple and, something so petty, I suppose. I'm not sure why it took them so long to investigate, but I feel like they were dragging things out. And for another thing, I mean, like the corporate offices weren't opening, despite the fact that my coworkers still had to make it to their jobs at Burgerville. So, you know, that delayed things a bit, I suppose, but yeah.
So for anybody who doesn't have the background, what's the deal with this 70-cent bagel?
Yeah, so it was 2 weeks ago tomorrow that I asked my assistant manager to make me a bagel when I was about to go on my break. He made it for me, confirmed that he knew it was for me, and I told him I was going on my break, and I went down and sat down and ate it. And I didn't really, like, think of anything of it until the next day. When I found out, my general manager came up to me and asked me to explain the bagel incident. And honestly, I didn't even know what he was talking about. So I had to have him explain it to me. But he told me that I guess I had forgotten to pay for my bagel, as well as my assistant manager forgot to ring me up for it. And instead of that manager approaching me on the spot like a decent human would, I would assume, and saying that, hey, you forgot to pay for your bagel. Would you like to pay for that? They decided to sneakily report it to HR and use it as an opportunity to discipline me for my union activity.
So it's been 11 days. Has Burgerville made it clear to you why they've chosen to draw this process out for so long and why it's really necessary to fire you?
No, you know, basically they interviewed one of my coworkers, is all, who was the coworker that was on shift with me. They interviewed her right off the bat, and all they would tell me is that they weren't finished with their investigation, and that's all they could tell me, and I was just going to have to wait, basically.
So tell us a little bit about your activity with the union and why you think this might be connected to your firing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been involved from the union from the beginning. We went public April 26th of last year. And I've been very active in my store, recruiting my coworkers, taking part in workplace actions. You know, most recently we had our tip jar action where we installed tip jars in every single Burgerville, and Burgerville proceeded to go around and take each one of them down. And, you know, we've seen a pattern of retaliation against coworkers, especially my coworkers in my store. We had one of my coworkers during the summer was framed with thousands of dollars of gift card theft, and then threatened that she couldn't tell anyone, including her mom, her roommates, who also worked at Burgerville, about what they were threatening her with, or they would prosecute her for a felony of thousands of dollars of gift card theft. And this was, you know, she was like a young 19-year-old worker. They were just trying to intimidate her, and they pushed her out. And we saw it with another one of my coworkers, Jake, who was like facing some workplace issues and was standing up against it. And they ended up firing him. So
not only was this situation spurred on by a mere bagel, but it was your manager's omission of forgetting to charge you those 70 cents that ultimately led to the firing. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And has there been any acknowledgement of this from management's end? Have you felt supported at all?
Oh, not at all, no. I asked them when they did their interrogation of me, I asked them if they if my manager, who violated the same policy as me by making food off screen and not charging me for it and giving away food without charging for it, just as much a violation of the policy as taking food without paying for it. But he faced no disciplinary action whatsoever. And they told me that it wasn't relevant to the situation when I asked them about it.
So give us a little context. You work at a Burgerville in Vancouver. How long had you been there? And what got you started organizing?
I have been there for about a year and 3 months now, I believe. And, you know, I started organizing because I've been working food service jobs for a while now. And, you know, I think it's time for a change in the food industry. I think food service workers need to stand up and fight for what they need, fight for the respect they need and the money they need to survive.
So in a press release, we heard that the Burgerville Workers Union has filed an unfair labor practice complaint with the National Labor Relations Board. Do you think there's any hope there for a backup?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's, you know, it's something, it's always a step that we want to take. It's not something that we are necessarily relying on 100%. For one thing, that process is a very slow process. It could be months or years until I would get my job reinstated through that process. But most of all, we're going to be relying on worker solidarity with my coworkers. And yeah, that's how we hope to get my job back.
So is that your ultimate goal, to get your job back?
Yes. Yeah. So my demand is full reinstatement.
And what made you think that going to the media was the right way to approach this? Did you just feel you were being completely stonewalled by working within the organization itself?
Working within what organization?
Well, you went through the regular channels at Burgerville. You didn't feel you were being listened to. So what are you hoping to accomplish by going to the media?
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping to just get the word out about Burgerville's union busting tactics. It's important that people know. I think a lot of people see Burgerville as this kind of like ethical, local, sustainable company. And, you know, it's really not true. When you look at their practices, you know, they do source from like some local beef suppliers and that sort of thing. But for the most part, it's all a facade. And also we're having to plug our picket. We're going to be doing a picket next Wednesday at 6:30 PM at the convention center location, the Burgerville. We're hoping to turn folks out to that to help demand my job back.
So tell me about the response you've gotten from your fellow coworkers, not on the management level.
Yeah, I mean, they all think it's ridiculous. I went in there today to say hi to some of my coworkers, and you know, nobody's happy about it. It doesn't feel good for any of them as well. You know, it's scary to think that you could be fired over something so simple, that such a simple mistake. You know, and just for standing up and asking for what you need.
What was it like to go in there?
It was weird, you know. I felt, you know, like there was a little bit, I felt a little emboldened because, you know, I'd already lost my job. There wasn't not a lot they could do to me at that point. But, you know, it's kind of sad too, you know. I want my job back. So
I'm curious, before all this happened and before you started doing some of this organizing you've been doing at Burgerville with the union, were you a political person before? Or?
I've been a member of the Industrial Workers of the World for a number of years. I think I've always thought it's been important for working people to stand up for what they need.
And in the bigger picture, what are your hopes going forward as far as what kind of rights and protections workers like yourself might have in the future?
I hope to see ultimately like a revival in the labor movement. It's going to be interesting. You know, we have like this new Trump administration, some appointees to the National Labor Relations Board and the Department of Labor that are going to make the traditional methods of organizing through the National Labor Relations Board and elections and that sort of thing much more difficult. The way we organize is a little bit different in the IWW and the Burgerville Workers Union. We rely on worker solidarity and building direct shop floor power. We don't have to rely on those sorts of institutions to have our back.
I know it's early yet. This has just been 11 days, but have you gotten any support from folks in working at either other fast food restaurants or within the food industry in general?
Yeah, I mean, we support from other folks in the IWW, and yeah.
So as far as the organized response you're mounting here, you're going to have the picket. Any idea how many people are going to show up to that? Do you have a Facebook page or any sort of RSVPs?
Yeah, we do have a Facebook page. The Facebook page is Burgerville Workers Union, and you'll find our event on there. You know, I haven't checked the latest on who said they're going. In the past, when we've pulled off pickets with less notice than this, we've had at least 50 people show up. And on October 25th, we did a large picket where we had around 200 people show up. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to depend on how well we can turn out for it. But, you know, we hope to get as many people as we can get. The more, the merrier.
So you have the ear of Portland right now. What else would you want people to know about what it's like to work in the food industry or in fast food in particular?
You know, it's tough. You know, yeah, the food industry is tough. Fast food in particular, this is the hardest job I've ever had. You know, a lot of people think of it as like a starter job or something for kids and that kind of thing. But, you know, I've worked lots of jobs. I worked in a machine shop. You know, I've worked at a car wash. I've worked in other food service jobs, coffee shops. Not only is this job stressful because you make minimum wage and you're under basically a microscope at all times about keeping busy and that sort of thing, but it's also like very physically demanding. The fast aspect of it, you know, they try to their goal is to get all food out of the drive-thru in less than 3.5 minutes. That means you got to do some like crazy stuff sometimes, run into the back and lifting things you probably shouldn't, and maneuvering around fryers and grills and stuff. It's hot, it's dangerous. Lots of my coworkers have gotten burned and hurt. It's hard work, and a lot of people don't think of it that way.
So if listeners want to get involved in or help in some way, what else could they do besides attending the demonstration?
You can, for one thing, like our Facebook page. That's our main way of reaching out to people about actions and that sort of thing. You can call Burgerville. Unfortunately, I don't think I have the corporate number ready, but you can find that on our Facebook page as well. We've been asking people to call in and demand my reinstatement. Yeah, and just keep an eye out. And you can go to our website as well, burgervilleworkersunion.org, and sign up for our email list if Facebook isn't your thing.
All right, any other thoughts or parting words, Jordan?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope I get my job back. I hope we can get some folks to turn out to this picket next Wednesday, 6:30. And yeah, I hope overall, you know, despite whatever may happen to me, that we are the organizing we're doing will inspire some folks in the food service industry and abroad to stand up and fight back against the boss.
We've been talking with Jordan Vandering, a worker at Burgerville who has been fired over accusations of grand theft bagel. There's a picket line forming outside the Convention Center Burgerville on this evening at 6:30 p.m. to protest Jordan's termination. Good luck, Jordan.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the opening reception of Giving Back, the Soul of Philanthropy, Reframed and Exhibited, Friday, January 20th at 6 p.m. at Concordia University's George R. White Library in Portland. This event was originally scheduled for Friday, January 13th. Giving Back illustrates Black philanthropic experiences and giving traditions grounded in faith, mutuality, responsibility, and social justice. Images and stories are from the book Giving Back, a tribute to generations of African American philanthropists. Again, that's the opening reception of Giving Back, the Soul of Philanthropy, Reframed and Exhibited, Friday, January 20th at 6 p.m. at Concordia University's George R. White Library, 2800 Northeast Liberty Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, honey, you old gloomy sight. Good morning.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Real Cool Film Series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is Lady Sings the Blues, showing Monday, January 23rd at 7 p.m. Diana Ross portrays jazz singer Billie Holiday in this biographical drama. The film depicts her early attempts at a singing career and her eventual rise to stardom, as well as her difficult relationships and drug addiction. Again, that's Lady Sings